The significance of our lives and our fragile planet is then determined only by our own wisdom and courage. We are the custodians of life's meaning. We long for a parent to care for us, to forgive us our errors, to save us from our childish mistakes. But knowledge is preferable to ignorance. Better by far to embrace the hard truth than a reassuring fable. If we crave some cosmic purpose, then let us find ourselves a worthy goal.
First of all, I just want to tell you what a great show you got. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, thank you. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
Hey, what's going on?
Someone wrote weird on the transgender bathroom and the school president didn't overreact, so we want him fired.
Seems reasonable.
Exactly!
Oh, I see news cameras. I'm going to yell, Viva la stool, like a young white drunkard.
And last week, a professor told his class to have a nice day, which is microaggression, because in our systemic rape culture, no day is a nice day. So we want him fired, too.
Hey, if you don't want to get fired, don't become a teacher, right?
Totally. You should tweet that. Hashtag fire everyone.
Viva la stool.
I guess I could fire up my account again. All right, open app. Got a bunch of those, no biggie. Type in tweet. Blast off in 3, 2, 1, and tweet it. I am back in the game. See? Up, you're gone. And the crowd is gone. And the animators are gone.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, baby!
Hey, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things are happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time to take a pause and thought about life and thought about the laws of gravity, social media, scientists, truths, politics, and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just trying to hear me out for a little while. Well, 74 years ago today, the world was introduced to atomic warfare. Last Sunday, we saw the modern equivalent, an atomic bomb of truth. It started a nuclear holy war. What else is new? Am I right? Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 209-565-3283. The email, Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, you can find the show on the interwebs. Just look for plausiblylive.com or search for The Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Ego Biberi Capulis et Olive Verve. I drink coffee so that others might live. You know, it's a remarkable thing to me. History being what it is, of course, these sort of things always seem to... I'm not one of those believers that this coincidences. I think they are just coincidences that history seems to call to mind events and comparisons to what's happening in today. It's really just a confirmation bias. That's all it is. We're looking for things that are happening and in pattern. So pattern bias, confirmation bias. We are looking for things that happen that remind us of the familiar. So today being August 6th, of course, was the day that Hiroshima was attacked with an atomic weapon in 1945. And I'm not really here to debate the morality of that. I'm really not. I'm not interested in debating the morality of that. We weren't there, so we don't really know whether or not it would have cost a million lives to invade Japan or not. We can speculate, but that's all we can do. We can't undo history. But it's intriguing that it's today that we're talking about that because, of course, the atomic bomb was... Well, it was a blinding moment of truth. It really was. It was no matter how you slice it, I mean, history is pretty clear that the Japanese Empire prior to that had no intention or at least no firm conviction about ending the war that was destroying their country. They just didn't seem all that intrigued or interested in doing so. First atomic bomb shook them up a bit. Second atomic bomb got their attention and... From there, it was not long before the Japanese Empire, led by Hirohito, surrendered, and World War II, as we knew it, came to an end. You can't really get around those facts. You can't really get around that argument. You can't really say, oh, no, Dave, it didn't happen that way. It was an atomic bomb of truth that opened up the world to a new way of doing things, to a new potential energy source that could power cars. It was going to take us to the stars. It was going to do atomic energy, was going to do all kinds of things. But of course, there was always the specter of, yeah, we also use it for weapons. And there was always the odd chance that that would happen. You know, I spent a good deal of my adult life dealing with that directly. And you know, you kind of become pragmatic about it in some ways. You really do. But you also never lose sight of the fact that this is an enormous responsibility. And with responsibility, you know, with power comes responsibility. That finger, as I've said many, many times, was the finger on the fire control panel aboard USS Michigan from 1984 to 1987. I was the fire control supervisor. So it was, you know, had it become necessary to launch those missiles, I would have been the one doing it. And I would have done it. Without hesitation, I would have done it. Now, I was a lot younger. Maybe I wouldn't do it now. Maybe I would think about it differently now. But in those days, it was a different world. It really was. And Hiroshima was the dawn of that world. Again, it's intriguing to me because the theory of atomic warfare or nuclear warfare or mutual assured destruction is a topic that you could spend hours talking about. I literally could spend day. I used to teach it. I could spend days talking about the theory behind how a nuclear war would be fought. Nuclear war would be fought. It would surprise you. It really would if I were to violate my non-disclosure agreements and sit here and tell you what I know, what I knew, because I'm sure none of it applies anymore, of those things. I think you would be surprised. I guarantee you would be surprised because I was surprised and I was the one doing it. There are things about it that on the surface make sense, and there are things about it that you look at and you go, well, I don't see why we do that. You learn new words. You learn new ideas and new ways of thinking, and it really does a number on your brain, which is probably why they have young people do it instead of old people do it, because old people are going to ask questions that young people don't necessarily ask. And that's part of the problem, is that old people question things. I know that the conventional wisdom is that youth is the one that questions. Youth are questioning everything. Question authority. Question that. But it usually isn't so much questioning as it is just arguing. An honest question can be answered. An honest question can be taken at its face value, and it can be addressed, and it can be used as a teaching point. Simply arguing and questioning for the sole purpose of creating chaos and strife, it's a different story. It's a different thought process. It's a different way of doing things, isn't it? And that's part of the problem. Over the weekend, we saw a metaphorical atomic bomb of truth being dropped. Now, this is one of those things that it intrigues me because, again, it isn't so much what happened as it is the reaction to it that fascinates me. Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you don't know this by now, I don't know what rock you're living under, but Neil deGrasse Tyson over the weekend on Sunday specifically tweeted, in the past 48 hours, the USA horrifically lost 34 people to mass shootings. On average, across any 48 hours, we also lose 500 people to medical errors, 300 to the flu, 250 to suicide, 200 to car accidents, and 40 to homicide via handguns. And then he closes this by saying, often our emotions respond more to spectacle than to data. Now, this is what I would call an atomic bomb of truth, or Charlie Sheen would call it a torpedo of truth. This is something that people in the throes of emotionalistic response to an event that they're being told is, you know, what it is on the television, don't want to hear. This was a truth that many people have made it very clear that they did not want to hear. The reaction to this has been nothing short of remarkable, because Neil deGrasse Tyson, a man who is no political conservative at all. He is not a Trump supporter. He's not a Republican supporter. He's no political conservative by any stretch of the imagination. He is a climate change alarmist. He is the antithesis of what most people who are involved with this show believe, both politically and sociologically. There's no two ways about that. And most of us reacted to his tweet, if not necessarily positively. I mean, I didn't read his tweet and go, yeah, that's great. I can't wait to retweet that. I should retweet that hashtag everybody, fire everybody. I didn't retweet it in that. I didn't retweet it at all, but I didn't retweet it in that vein. I didn't read it in that vein. I read it with a very thoughtful nodding of my head going, yeah, we've got some issues here, don't we? We've got some problems that we need to look at. We've got some issues. And especially there were three things here that really stood out to me. 300 to the flu, because some of you idiots are still not getting your flu shots. Because again, the atomic bomb of truth has not hit you on the head. There you go. 250 to suicide. Well, in any 48 hours, 44 of those are veterans, supposedly. That's the number that we're given. Even that's too many. But 250 people a day in 48 hours. So that's what, 125 a day dying to suicide. It's one of those numbers that you hear and you go, wait a minute, that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's got to be crazy. There's no way that that number is that high. And I suspect, I don't have the data in front of me, but I suspect that there is some, I wouldn't call it fudging of the numbers, but interpretive manipulation of the numbers. How's that? In other words, someone who commits autoerotic asphyxiation, is that a suicide? I mean, kind of is. Is it counted in this number? I don't know. Drug overdoses, where are those? Are they suicides or are they, you know, unintentional? So I think there's just some room for maneuver and negotiation in these numbers, but the truth of the matter is that Neil deGrasse Tyson is a scientist, a very well-respected, well-regarded scientist, a scientist who, of all the scientists in the world, seems to grasp the concept of communicating his ideas in a way that people can grasp and understand. Whether you like him or not is not really relevant to me, but he seems to understand those things. He understands that they're communication is necessary, and that's part of the problem that the scientific world has, is it's not doing a good job of communicating in anything other than, well, spectacle-type headlines. The world's going to end imminently. It's going to end almost instantaneously. We have to do something, and, you know, that's not real science, and I think even Neil deGrasse Tyson would agree with that, but he has a way of communicating, and I like that. One of the things he says in here is 500 people, the medical errors every 48 hours. Just let that number rattle around in your brain for just a moment, right? 48 hours, every 48 hours, we're losing 500 people. That seems crazy. That just seems nuts. That's almost 100,000 people, 91,000 something people annually to quote unquote medical errors. Well, of course, the reaction to that was pretty predictable. There were doctors groups all over the place that just absolutely could not wait to blast, pummel Neil deGrasse Tyson for making this claim that 500 people were dying from medical errors. How dare you say this? This is outrageous that a scientist would say such a thing as this. Well, the problem with that is, of course, he is a scientist. And until somebody can show me otherwise, and simply saying that it's not true, okay, I realize from a legal standpoint, he actually has the burden of proof. But simply saying it isn't true and not providing any backing up for that is a little problematic to me as well. The doctors, if they're going to say this is not true, might want to supply some data showing that it's not true. But So far, I haven't seen that. But I also kind of believe that Neil deGrasse Tyson wouldn't say that without something to back that up. Now, whether or not it's accurate or not, is, again, the figures are open for debate. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Let's see what they have to say. Do they really have that kind of numbers or not? 250 to suicide, about 200 to car accidents. I noticed the automobile industry did not really object to that because it's probably true. 200 people every 48 hours or 100 people a day to car accidents. Again, some of those could probably cross over into suicide. And, you know, who knows? Some of them might even be because of the flu. Somebody got the flu and couldn't. Who knows? But the point he's trying to make is encapsulated in that closing sentence. If all he had said was, often our emotions respond more to spectacle than data, and left everything else out of that, the entirety of that post had been just that. Most of the people who are lambasting him today and yesterday would have hashtagged agree, hashtag truth, hashtag this is so right, hashtag we love Neil deGrasse Tyson. But because he combined it with their pet issue, because he questioned the logic, because he questioned the spectacle behind the data with regards to what they were upset about, boy, now we can't have that. And he has been absolutely, as I said, pummeled on social media for being an insensitive jerk, for being, well, I mean, they've essentially called him everything but a white nationalist. They really have. It would be amusing if it weren't so sad. I mean, that's just really, I'm not trying to be weird about it, but it would be a lot like this. Have you seen this video? I'm going to show you a little video and you'll hear the audio if you're not watching it. Have you seen this video? This is actual video of the Communist Party USA's recent convention. All right, just watch this.
If we want to defeat capitalism, we are going to need a party that will organize working people to fight for the demands that we want and to win socialism. Thank you so much.
Great. Right.
Quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Guys, first of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum? It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
Thank you, comrade. Okay, is there a speaker against name,
point
chapter, pronoun?
Privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Okay.
So, the guy who's triggered by the noise triggers the guy who's triggered by non-gender-specific language, or gender-specific language, whatever the hell it happens to be. And as my good friend Ken has pointed out, these are the people that think they're going to defeat capitalism with that kind of reaction to everything. Every time somebody, all we got to do to beat them is literally say trigger words and they'll freak out and they'll be unable to function because they'll be triggered. I'm triggered by noise. And so I'm unable to focus. I'm unable to. And oh, by the way, guys, please don't do that. I don't say guys. And the whole thing will blow up on them. Well, when you watch this Mike Tyson, when you watch this Neil deGrasse Tyson response, it's similar to that, isn't it? It's the same kind of things where people are just losing their minds over the noise or the specific language or the whatever without ever seeing the truth of what he had to say, the atomic bomb of truth that he dropped, which is that we're reacting to the spectacle rather than the data, right? Mayor Pete gets up there the other day and tells us that we have a white nationalist national security attack problem, and yet we're told, right? I mean, if you look at the data, okay, I was reading this afternoon, 40% of hate crimes in America in the past year have been white nationalists. 40%. They never tell you what the other 60% are. So, given that, keep in mind that we're also being told at the same time we're being told white nationalism is the problem, we're also being told that you cannot judge all Muslims by a few religious fanatics who blow up buildings and chop people's heads off. You can't do that, right? But you can judge every gun owner in the country by a white nationalist, or allegedly a white nationalist. We don't really know if he was or not. We suspect that he might have been, but we don't know. Nobody's come out and said, yeah, he was. I mean, we're going to have a trial for him, so maybe we'll find out, but there you go. And these people are triggered by what he had, by what Tyson had to say about our emotions respond more to spectacle than data. And this is absolute truth, folks. Our emotion, it doesn't matter what side of this you're on. Our emotions do respond to spectacle. They always have. They always will. That's why we look at a mountain and go, whew, that's beautiful. And we look at, you know, a landfill and we go, that's, you know, crap. It's why we react to a beautiful person that we love differently than we react to a beautiful person that we don't love, or an ugly person that we don't love. We do. Our emotions are responding to what we see and what we're told, as opposed to what we think about. We're not thinking at all. And this is all Tyson is saying, is we got to start thinking. We got a lot of problems in this country, is what he's kind of getting at. And you know, again, 300 people die every 48 hours dying because of the flu. I think that's stupid. For the life of me. And I agree, you might disagree, and that's fine. But we can disagree on the data, not on the emotionalism of it. Okay? I think it's ridiculous that 300 people are dying every 48 hours of the flu. I think that's absurd. The data is clear that the flu shot works. But there are people who don't believe that. Now, I could either call them names, I could either draw memes showing them stupid or idiots or whatever, or we could have a reasonable discussion about it. And at the end of the day, we can accept each other's positions, can't we? I can say, well, I think you're making a mistake, and I'm going to get my flu shot, and my son's going to get his flu shot, and my wife's going to get her flu shot because she has to. It's part of her job. And if you don't want to, that's your business. But I think you're dumb not to. I think it's a dumb move. I don't think you're dumb, but I think it's a dumb move. That's an atomic bomb of truth. But if I say that to the wrong people in the wrong case in the wrong social media setting, my God, it's going to turn into a nuclear holy war, which is what Tyson is finding out. Now, I strongly suspect that Neil deGrasse Tyson, number one, doesn't care. Okay, I just don't think he does. I think he's actually gotten to the point over the past couple of years, because of what he's gone through, he's just about had it with all this fame and fortune thing. And he's starting to realize that, you know, it's just not worth it. I think that. And I think that there's enough of an impish troll type behavior in him that he knew what this was going to cause. He knew exactly what it was going to cause. And in some ways, it's creating a spectacle to which people are emotionally responding. And it wouldn't surprise me. And if in a couple of days he tweets, you've proven my point. You've reacted with emotion to a spectacle rather than with data, rather than reacting to what's really at risk. You know, my son likes to tell me this all the time. Dad, you got a better chance of being eaten by or killed by a goat in this country than you do being eaten by a shark. Yeah, I know. But there's no goat week on television. Why? Because goats aren't scary. Sharks are. Violence is scary, but if it doesn't meet the right political connotations, then, well, that's not scary. But white nationalists. You know what white nationalists are, right? You know what that is, right? You understand the connotation of the word white nationalist. Do you understand what it means? I mean, you might say to yourself, well, nationalists are people who love their country, and white people are white nationalists. What is a white nationalist? Well, a white nationalist is code word for Nazi. So anytime they say white nationalist, what they're really meaning is Nazis. And Nazis, folks, are scary, because Nazis, they almost took over the world one time. Communists that are triggered by language and noise, boy, I think to myself, Comrade Beria is probably rolling over in his grave at this point. Can you imagine Joseph Stalin being told, hey, we got to watch the trigger language because I'm not able to handle this noise? Yeah, today's communists are a little weak. The truth of the matter is that truth is truth. It's what Gandhi said. Many people, especially ignorant people, it's the word Gandhi used, want to punish you for speaking the truth, for being correct, for being you. Never apologize for being correct or for being years ahead of your time. If you're right and you know it, speak your mind. Speak your mind, even if you are a minority of one. The truth is still the truth. And I guess my favorite, Miyamoto Musashi, truth is not what you want it to be. It is what it is. And you must bend to its power, or, this is powerful, folks, you must live a lie. You must acknowledge the truth, or you must live a lie. And I think that's what's remarkable to me about this Tyson tweet and all of this stuff going on and these people at this convention. They're living a lie. And the sad part is, everyone that's blasting him knows that they're living a lie. They know it. In their soul of souls, they know that it's a lie. They know that they're living a lie. But they can't acknowledge that truth, because if they acknowledge that truth, well, that's an atomic bomb of truth, and I don't want to get hit by that, because that's not what I want to believe. It's not what I want to say, and if it's not what I want to say, then that means I'm, what's that word? What's that word again? Oh, yeah, wrong. And if I'm wrong, then that means somebody else is right, and God can't have that, can we? So we're going to rip into a scientist, a respected scientist, for telling us the truth. And we're surprised that our society can't figure out what's wrong with it? I'm not. I'm really not surprised by it at all. Because this is the direction we're headed. We're headed in a direction that the lie, which is popular, which makes people smile, which makes people laugh, which makes people happy, is easier than the law, than the truth that makes them cry. And eventually, the truth is still the truth. And you're just living a lie if you believe it. I gotta go. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there, so don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I'm Dave Bowman. This is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. See you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great night.
The Dave Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.